So any, I guess, speculation shown on where we might be heading in terms of a clinic? Are we going to be looking for PIK3 mutations, and what are we going to do if we find them?
I'm a little bit more circumspect when it comes to the results of the SOLAR study than perhaps others might be. I do agree that because we saw the benefit from the drug in the PIK3CA mutant tumors, that one could herald this as a sort of feather in the cap of people in the precision medicine camp, that maybe we found a bit of a biomarker here for drugs like this. But here's my question to everyone here. We all agree that we really don't have any good data for patients who've progressed on a CDK4/6 inhibitor. So as a baseline, we all admit that we're extrapolating from trials where patients had progressed on hormonal therapy alone, and we're using that data to make practice decisions now about patients who are going to have progressed on a hormonal therapy plus a CDK4/6 inhibitor. So with that in the background, if you have a patient who has an AI and a CDK4/6 inhibitor in the first line, and after two, three, or even a serous patient went on for 4 years, develops progressive disease, what is going to make somebody choose fulvestrant plus a PI3 kinase inhibitor versus, for example, fulvestrant plus everolimus? We have data for fulvestrant and everolimus. We have data for other endocrine therapies and everolimus in the post-AI setting. Hazard ratios are quite similar. We heard that PIK3CA mutation doesn't necessarily predict for impaired sensitivity to everolimus. So for my learning more than anything, I'm wondering when we talk about this being practice-changing data, if we could discuss the kind of patient where your practice would actually be changed.
So I completely agree with you in terms of how you were trying to think about these patients. The two points that I probably think about, well, talking to your point about what would you do for your patient, I think given the data at least, and based on all the science that has gone behind this clinical data that is being generated finally, I would think about a patient to go on fulvestrant and alpelisib only if they have the PIK3CA mutation, at least right now, based on this data. But two points that I think about when we talk about this trial doesn't have data in patients who've progressed on CDK4/6 inhibitors. I think the fact of the matter is none of the trials that we have currently that we use in clinic beyond the first line has that. The BOLERO-2 trial doesn't have that, but yet we use that right now in the second and third line setting until we will have that data. So it's been an evolving landscape for our patients, all for the good, where we have CDK4/6 inhibitors that we can use in the first and second line. And with more time and more follow-up and more studies, we will learn what the impact will be in the post-progression patients. Is it related to the endocrine resistance or sensitivity? Is it related to a resistance of mechanism to CDK4/6? And those efforts are ongoing. The second point I wanted to make was about the toxicity. I completely agree with everything that has been discussed so far. So certainly when we have a new agent in clinic, it is a learning curve for everyone involved as to how to handle those toxicities and how easy or not easy it is and how cumbersome it is. When we had everolimus come to clinic, I think almost everybody said it's a terrible drug, right? Toxicity is so hard. We had so much trouble with stomatitis with the SWISH trial that has been taken care of. We still struggle with pneumonitis. We still struggle with fatigue and chemotherapy-like side effects. So I think that same thing is going to happen to these agents as well. So surely they are toxic. That's what we see. But I think the comfort level will get better as management guidelines come in place and our comfort level of treating our patients will get better. So I do see a place for them in PIK3 mutants, at least based on this trial right now.
It is really interesting to see how people react to data. You know, as somebody mentioned, you know, the hazard rate with everolimus was really impressive, and yet people are so concerned about the mucositis and everything else that there wasn't really a very positive response. Subsequent to this roundtable meeting on April 4th, 2019, the FDA approved palbociclib in combination with endocrine therapy for men with hormone receptor positive HER2 negative advanced or metastatic breast cancer. This concludes our program. The complete comprehensive slide deck of the survey results is included with this program. Special thanks to our faculty and my co-chair, Dr. Tulaney, and to you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for this special roundtable discussion on the use of CDK4/6 inhibitors in the management of ER-positive metastatic breast cancer.